It's time to open a thrift shop with DJ Frederick. Indeed, this is DJ Frederick, and you are tuned to the Radio Thrift Shop on WSCS 90.9 FM in New London. Radio Thrift Shop is a time machine of freeform radio from 1900 to tomorrow. Celebrating 78s, tapes, LPs, 45s, and even homemade and endangered compact discs. Well, we're going to start this week's program off with my new segment, the Progressive Thinkers Union. We're going to hear some progressive rock music from all over the world. Mostly recorded back in the 1970s and 80s. We're going to start with a band from England known as Egg, and this is the Fugue in D minor. Thank you.
powiedzieliśmy już wszystko, odegraliśmy już wszystko i już nic nam nie zdarzy się nowego. Każdy dzień i każdy wieczór taki sam. Znamy wszystkie swoje gesty, znamy wszystkie swoje słowa, śmiech i płacz. Jest już tylko powtórzeniem, jest już tylko odegraniem scen sprzed lat. W czterech ścianach zapomniani dobywamy miecza krzyku, lecz nasz krzyk oby się błędnie ściany, jak ze strachu oszalały ptak, uwięziony ptak. Swoje słowa, znamy ręce, swoje twarze, ty i ja. Nie umiemy w nich zabłądzić, w nich zatracić się, zagubić, choć noc trwa. Rozpalamy wielki ogień, wymawiamy wielkie słowa, lecz ich dźwięk wyziębiony głównie ściana, rzucony w rzekę kamień, jak utopiony dzwon. Odegraliśmy już wszystko, powiedzieliśmy już wszystko, ty i ja. Resztę dopowiedzą drzewa, resztę łez wypłacze za nas deszcz i wiatr.
Thank you.
Progressive Thinkers Union, some prog rock from around the world. That was Welsh group Bran with the tune that I'm not going to even attempt to pronounce. Before that, Breakout from Poland, and from Turkey, Boris Manko, and we started off with Egg, Fugue in D minor. Well, this is DJ Frederick. You're listening to the Radio Thrift Shop, and we're going to hear a set of music about a product from, the mid-20th century called Hadacol.
Now, what exactly is Hadacol? The story of Hadacol is the story of Dudley LeBlanc. A born entrepreneur, LeBlanc put himself through college in Lafayette, Louisiana, by running a clothes pressing business. Then he put four brothers and two cousins through college as well. LeBlanc sold shoes, tobacco, patent medicine, and funeral insurance. He also ran a funeral home, which benefited greatly from insurance sales. LeBlanc served as a state senator and in the Louisiana Public Service Commission. In 1932, he ran for governor of Louisiana against Oscar Allen, who had the support of Huey Long. It was a particularly nasty campaign that LeBlanc lost. He also ran unsuccessfully for governor in 1944 and 1952. Now, what was Hadacol? Hadacol was a mixture of vitamins B1 and B2, iron, niacin, calcium, phosphorus, honey, and diluted hydrochloric acid in a 12% alcohol. The alcohol content wasn't all that high, but the hydrochloric acid meant it was delivered through the body faster than it would be otherwise. The mixture really made people feel better, although it wasn't a cure for the many diseases it was advertised for, like high blood pressure, ulcers, strokes, asthma, arthritis, diabetes, pneumonia, anemia, cancer, epilepsy, gallstones, heart trouble, and hay fever. What made Hadacol a success was LeBlanc's advertising ingenuity. He explored ways to promote his product that took the public by surprise, and they worked. He kept supplies low in some pharmacies to create demand, he paid people for testimonials, and he sometimes crossed the line into the ridiculous, like this quote, 2 months ago I could not read nor write. I took 4 bottles of Hadacol, and now I'm teaching school. Hadacol was everywhere. It was on radio, on billboards, in newspapers and magazines. It was at the local pharmacy. It was even sold in liquor stores and bars. People paid $3.50 for a 24-ounce bottle, even if they had no food in the pantry. The hope for a better tomorrow trumped common sense in those days, just as it does now. LeBlanc pushed Hadacol on his radio show, which he broadcast in French. He published a medical pamphlet extolling the wonders of the elixir. He gave away swag featuring the name Hadacol on it, including water pistols and a comic book for children with stories drawn from glowing testimonies. LeBlanc wrote a jingle called the Hadacol Boogie, which was recorded by several artists, including Jerry Lee Lewis. He gave out Hadacol tokens, good for 25 cents off a bottle. LeBlanc had to expand his factory and then build more factories. Hadacol use spread from Louisiana across the nation. Millions of bottles were sold every year, and it was only snake oil.
Yes, indeed. So we're going to hear 3 songs that were inspired by Hadacol, recorded back in 1949 and 1950. We're going to start out with Jesse Rogers and the Hadacol Boogie.
Down in Louisiana in the bright sunshine, to do a little boogie-woogie all the time, to do the Hadacol Boogie.
The Hadacol Boogie.
The Hadacol Boogie.
The Hadacol Boogie.
Hadacol Boogie makes you boogie-woogie all the time. Standing on a corner with a bottle in my hand, went up steps and mama said, my Hadacol man, she done the Hadacol Boogie.
The Hadacol Boogie.
The Hadacol Boogie.
The Hadacol Boogie.
The Hadacol Boogie makes you boogie-woogie all the time.
Thank you. the farmers to rest about a week. The farmer's wife got to walking in her sleep. She done had a call boogie.
Had a call boogie.
They had a call boogie.
Had a call boogie.
They had a call boogie. Makes you boogie woogie all the time. If your radiator leaks and your motor stands still, give her a had a call, watch her boogie up the hill. She do the had a call boogie.
Had a call boogie.
The had a call boogie.
Had a call boogie.
The had a call boogie makes you boogie woogie all the time. Standing in the shade, the rooster did the boogie while the hen laid an egg. She done had a call boogie.
Had a call boogie.
They had a call boogie.
Had a call boogie.
They had a call boogie. Makes you boogie woogie all the time. The other little chickens are gathered around. They done the boogie woogie till the sun went down. They done a had a call boogie.
Had a call boogie.
They had a call boogie.
Had a call boogie.
They had a call boogie. Makes you boogie woogie all the time.
Both for old and young, your hattie called daddy's gonna have some fun. I ain't been hugged and I ain't been kissed since I put my name on that hattie call list. I'm a feeling fine, I'm very much alive. I'm not very old, I'm just a 65. I gained 10 pounds on just 1 ounce since I started doing the hattie call bound. Of all the women, I'm very fun. I like the brunettes, I like the blondes. The hattie call bounce, I really want it same. It really makes an old man young again. I've been shaking and taking it every day to keep my hair from a turning gray. Like a fish out of water, I just want to flounce when they start doing the hattie call bounce. I took hattie call just to ease my pain. On payday when my check comes due, go to see my mama on the PDQ. In a frock tail coat on a Saturday night, I'm the hattie call daddy and baby I'm right. Like a fish out of water, I just wanna flounce when they start doing the hattie call bounce. I gained 10 pounds on just 1 ounce since I started doing the hattie call bounce. I sold my farm and everything. I took hattie call just to ease my pain. On payday when my check comes due, go to see my mama on the PDQ. In a frock tail coat on a Saturday night, I'm the hattie call daddy and baby I'm right. Like a fish out of water, I just wanna flounce when they start doing the hattie call bounce.
La Lafayette did tell the tale of a crawfish very brave. He's braver than the eagle, and he's make the Cajun brave. Now the eagle see the great big train, and then away he fly. But crawfish what drink haddock all, he don't let no trains go by.
Haddock all, haddock all, how I love that haddock all. Make you strong, make you tall. Everybody loves that haddock all.
Say to Joe Broussard, this stuff it never fail. Cow's tail come off, you rub it on, and the cow grows brand new tail. Rene, he told Joe what to do, here's what it did allow. Just dip the tail in, add a call, pretty soon you have new cow.
Haddock-o, haddock-o, how I love that haddock-o. Make you strong, make you tall, everybody loves that haddock-o.
My friend, he had no teeth, all he ate was soup and toast. His friends say, man, try how to call, mix it with the milk from goats. Now he can chew the crawfish heads, his smile is hard to ban. And now he eats what goats eat, just the labels and the can.
Haddock-o, haddock-o, how I love that haddock-o. Make you strong, make you tall, everybody loves that haddock-o.
Near Bayou Blue, and she could not read or write. She just reads comic funny books every day and every night. But then she took some haddock-o, and it gave her quite a thrill. Cause now she's teaching high school, she's the best in Abbeville.
Haddock-o, haddock-o, how I love that haddock-o. Make you strong, make you tall, everybody loves that haddock-o.
Vitamins number one and number two. There's calcium and phosphorus and iron good for you. With alcohol and honey you have what it takes to be a lover and a sweetheart at the age of 93.
Haddock-o, haddock-o, how I love that haddock-o. Make you strong, make you tall, everybody loves that haddock-o.
Try that haddock-o, man, huh?
Oh, my. The cure for everything, haddock-o. That was the Basin Street Six with Everyone Loves That haddock-o from 1950. And before that, a couple of tunes from 1949, Bill Nettles and the haddock-o Bounce. We started off with Jesse Rogers, the haddock-o Boogie. And that's about as commercial as the radio thrift shop gets. All right. Okay, it's time to drop the needle on a thrift shop find. I'm going to drop the needle on a record that I have never heard before. And it's got kind of an interestingly racy cover I'm not going to talk about. It's by someone named Joanne Bonn and the Coquettes. The album is titled Looking and Searching, and I would say that it came out in the early to mid-1960s. It's on the same label as Russell Watrous and, let's see, who else here? King Richard's Flugel Knights, which is definitely a thrift shop band if there ever was one. And I'm going to actually try to get some of those recordings over the next few weeks. But this is Joanne Bonn, Looking and Searching. The name of the first track on side two is called Skip a Rope.
Skip a rope, skip a rope. Oh, listen to the children while they play. Now, ain't it kind of funny what the children say? Skip a rope. Daddy hates mommy, mommy hates dad. Last night you should have heard the fight they had.
had. It gave little sister another bad dream. She woke us all up with a terrible scream. Skip a rope. Skip a rope. Oh, listen to the children while they play. Now, ain't it kind of funny what the children say? Skip a rope. Cheat on your taxes, don't be a fool. What was it that they said about a golden rule? Well, never mind the rules, just play to win. And hate your neighbor for the shade of his skin. Skip a rope. Skip a rope. Oh, listen to the children.
Well, I don't know if that's like an easy listening version of a protest song or not, but we made it through, and that's not so bad. Joanne Bonn from an album Looking and Searching, that was Skip a Rope. Thank you.
one ringy dingy. Is this Mr. Hoover? Mr. Jedgar Hoover? Good. Then I have reached the party to whom I am speaking. Mr. Hoover, this is Miss Tomlin from the telephone company. It is my duty, Mr. Hoover, to discuss with you some of the abuses of your instrument. Yes. Yes, it does sound rather un-American, doesn't it? Now then, Mr. Hoover, I have your file here before me. Oh, yes, I'm sure that you have a file on me, too. After all, turnabout is fair play. Yes, it does sound perverted. Now then. Mr. Hoover, I have a delicate problem. I find that you and your agents have indulged in the illegal and unfair practice of wiretapping. Wiretapping. Oh, Mr. Hoover, listening to other people's conversations. Oh, how do I know? From listening to your calls, that's how I know. Oh, no. Mr. Hoover, don't be rude. I'll make a loud noise into my mouthpiece and perhaps deafen you for life. Now, Mr. Hoover, may I ask, do you have a telephone directory handy? Good. Let us turn to page VIII and recite in unison. It is a crime under both federal and state law to use a telephone for annoying or harassing purposes, or to knowingly permit a phone under one's control to be used for such purposes. This includes calls in which the caller remains silent, etc., 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 etc. Oh, you do know the law, Mr. Hoover. Now, Jedgar, listen, is there anybody at your place listening in? Everybody, good. Let's get right to the nitty-gritty. There's absolutely no reason for your people to skulk about, electronically speaking. You can get all the information you need from us. Probably a lot more accurately, too. Good. Good, then we will be in touch. Oh, and Mr. Hoover, before you go, I must tell you how much I admire your vacuum cleaner. Hello? Mr. Hoover? Well, why do you suppose he got so huffy? I was just being complimentary. Everybody knows there's nothing like a Hoover when you're dealing with dirt.
All right, Lily Tomlin, thank you very much. That is somehow more topical now than perhaps it was back in 1969. I don't know. Before that, we heard the great Charlie Bird from his album, The Great Bird. Let's see, For Once in My Life. Prior to that, Tony Mottola from Tony Mottola Joins the Underground Guitar Movement. That was Wichita Lineman. And we started the set off with Barney Kessel from his version of Hair. That was Aquarius. And he's got a whole album, actually, he recorded of covers from the musical Hair called Hair is Beautiful. And we'll be hearing more of that over the coming weeks. So please stay tuned. Well, this is DJ Frederick. You're listening to the Radio Thrift Shop on WSCS 90.9 FM in New London, live local radio for the Kearsarge and Sunapee regions. And I do like to say that we play music from 1900 to the present, so we're going to be cruising to the present with a couple of brand new releases on cassette tape, releases on the Swan City Sounds label, and you can find out more about their cassettes at swancitysounds.bandcamp.com. It's absolutely wonderful to see a resurgence and renaissance in cassette tape releases. Cassettes never really went away, but they are coming back furiously and fastly, so that's very, very cool. Let's hear a band called Walking Catfish.
Yeah. I was just a leaf at the end of the twig, on the limb, on the branch of a tree. Little girl, don't run away, it's only a month away. I don't need this time I've seen, no friendship's sake, not a friend to be. I don't need the bright that breeds alone in a cage of concrete maids in the city. Oh, Mary, please, oh, won't you help me see just what has gotten in me. I was just a leaf at the end of the twig, on the limb, on the branch of a tree. I don't need this talk that seems no friendship's sake, not a friend to be. I don't need the pride that breeds alone in a cage of concrete maids. I hear the cars break like waves upon the sea, voices that howl when they scream. I was just a leaf at the end of the twig, on the limb, on the branch of a tree. I don't need this talk that seems no friendship's sake, not a friend to be. I don't need the pride that breeds alone in a cage of concrete maze in the city. In the city.
Some new music that was released on Swan City Sounds cassettes. That was the Pocket Symphonies with In the City, and before that, Walking Catfish, The Mind You Make, and Desert Surf. This is DJ Frederick. You're listening to the Radio Thrift Shop, and I found the real Radio Thrift Shop this week, Bobby D's Records and Audio Repair. It's at 132 Main Street in Pembroke. Bobby D was the king of the golden oldies, and he's been involved in music and broadcasting since the 1950s. He repairs turntables, stereos, cassettes, CDs, 8-tracks. Just amazing. So I do check it out if you get a chance. He's an absolutely wonderful human being. Okay, we're going to wrap up the show today with time travel back to the year 1903, the year that was.
That was the year. Recreating notable events of passing time. reviving memories of men and women who have contributed to the history of a modern world.
That was the year.
Oyster Bay, New York, July 4, 10:50 p.m.
While Roman candles and skyrockets blazed in celebration of the nation's political independence, President Theodore Roosevelt stood by the side of telegraph magnate Mackey, watching Superintendent Usher transmit the message.
To Governor Taft, Manila, I open the American Pacific Cable with greetings to you and the people of the Philippines. Theodore Roosevelt.
Shortly, greetings from the Philippine Islands was speeding toward the president over the newly completed 8,300-mile cable. Thereupon, Roosevelt dispatched a message to Mackey, the first to travel round the world via the new line on a westward course. When it was received, Mackey dictated his reply at 5 minutes to midnight. At 12:04:30 a.m., again the key clicked.
This sounds like it. Will you read it, please, Mr. Usher?
To the president, Oyster Bay. I thank you deeply for your message, and I earnestly hope the Pacific Cable, by opening the wide horizon of the Great East, may prove a useful factor to the commerce of the United States. Clarence H. Mackey.
And now, let's see what the time on that will be. 11:55 to 12:04:30.
Around the world in just 9.5 minutes. Say, that's bully. I'm delighted.
19-3. That was the year.
August 4. At about 11 a.m., the Sacred College of Cardinals in conclave for the purpose of electing a new pope. Following the death of Leo XIII, heard Cardinal Caseta, as scrutineer, read the results of the voting.
Cardinal Rampolla.
Cardinal Sarto.
Cardinal Sarto.
Cardinal Sarto.
Cardinal Sarto.
Cardinal Sarto.
Cardinal Sarto.
Cardinal Sarto, 42. We have elected a pontiff.
Your Eminence, do you accept the position as Supreme Pontiff of the Roman Catholic Church?
If this cup cannot pass from me...
Your Eminence, your answer must be yes or no.
Yes.
After a brief rest, the new pontiff, accompanied by the other cardinals, joined the procession through the winding halls to the window of St. Peter. As Cardinal Macchi opened the doors...
I announce to you with great pleasure that we have elected as Pope the most eminent Reverend Giuseppe Cardinal Sarto, who has taken the name of Pius X.
Hail Pius Pope!
Auditorium Nostrum. In nomine Domini. Sic nomen Domini benedictum. Benedicat vos omnipotens Deus.
Later, Pius X began officially a new era in papal history, as he was crowned with a three-crown tiara.
1903. That was the year
of the settlement of the Canadian-American dispute over the Alaskan boundary.
The Anglo-Russian Treaty of 1825 fixed certain portions of the boundary between Alaska and Canada as a line parallel to the coast and 10 marine leagues inward. Since 1888, Canada had been advancing the claim that the line should be measured 10 leagues from the westernmost tips of the islands along the coast and not 10 leagues from the coast of the mainland itself, which was the claim of the U.S. Finally, in 1903, under pressure from President Roosevelt, a commission of six was appointed by the two governments. Roosevelt had written to Secretary of State Hay,
"I don't want the thing pending during a presidential campaign. And moreover, if the English decline to come to an agreement this fall under any pretense, I shall feel that it is simply a matter of bad faith. I think that they ought to be made to understand that I shall probably, if they fail to come to some agreement, bring the matter to the attention of Congress and ask for an appropriation so that we can run the line ourselves."
The American members of the Alaskan Boundary Tribunal.
Secretary of War Elihu Root. Senators Henry Cabot Lodge and George Turner.
The British members.
Baron Elveston, Lord Chief Justice of England, Lieutenant Governor Louis Jetté of Quebec, and Ontario lawyer Alan Bristol Aylesworth.
Lord Elveston was elected president, and from September 3 to October 20, discussions, negotiations, diplomatic insinuations continued. At last, Baron Elveston, siding with the American members, threw the power of the tribunal toward a settlement favoring the U.S., giving to Canada only one of her several claims, access to the sea by the Portland Canal only.
And following the announcement of the decision, said the two Canadian commissioners in a blanket statement,
"We urged our views as strongly as we are able, but we have been compelled to witness the sacrifice of the interests of Canada."
1903. That was the year
that there occurred a series of events of vast importance to the U.S., indeed, to the entire world.
November 3.
Panama proclaims her independence from Colombia, declares the formation of the Republic of Panama.
November 6.
The U.S. recognizes the Republic of Panama.
November 18.
In the residence of Secretary of State John Hay, the bearded diplomat sits studying the phrases of an engrossed document. Promptly at 6 p.m.
Come. The Honorable Mr. Bonao Varilla, Minister from the Republic of Panama.
Oh, yes. Yes, of course. Come in, sir.
Thank you, senor.
Sit down, Mr. Bonao Varilla. Well, we're all ready.
What, senor? Why, you have the document prepared?
In duplicate. You will, of course, want to study it.
If you please, senor.
After perusing the voluminous pages with extreme care, the representative of the Baby Republic turns to John Hay.
I am in complete accord, senor. I will sign.
Good. And here is the pen. Thank you. And now for the United States.
Oh, senor, you have no idea how happy this has made me, and how happy it will make the people of our newly born country. I congratulate.
And my congratulations to you, Senor Bonao Varilla. I believe we have signed a document of inestimable import to both nations.
The terms of the Hay-Bonao Varilla Treaty gave the U.S. the right to build an Isthmian Canal. 10 years later, President Woodrow Wilson touched the button which destroyed the Gamboa Dike, the last obstruction to navigation from Atlantic to Pacific through the Panama Canal.
1903. That was the year
that Orville and Wilbur Wright, navigating a flying machine of their own design, flew 3 miles in the teeth of a 21-mile windstorm at Kitty Hawk, Virginia, landed easily and safely, the first time in the history of the world that man had completed successful aerial flight without the aid of a balloon.
1903. That was the year.
Chicago, Illinois, December 30. Every one of the 1,740 seats of the Iroquois Theater are filled with young people home from colleges and schools for Christmas holidays with their families and friends. The entire audience is convulsed at the antics of comedian Eddie Foy and his company in the musical production Mr. Bluebeard. Gradually, the audience becomes aware of frantic shouts seeping through from backstage. Then, as a signal for the tragic pandemonium which followed, someone sees a piece of flaming muslin floating down onto the stage. A few laugh at the grotesque spectacle of comedian Foy, half-clothed, half-made-up, bearing his infant son in his arms, handing him over the footlights to the orchestra leader. Soon, the entire theater becomes a seething human maelstrom. Terrified stagehands attempt to lower the asbestos safety curtain. It falters and halts halfway down. Wintry breezes from open stage doors fan the flames, and then the lights blink and go out. ¶¶ the fire chief entered the charred building a half hour later, he found human bodies choking every exit, piled 7 feet high. To his call,
"Is anyone alive in here?"
There was no answer. 588 persons, but a short while before, laughing and applauding in the heights of free Christmas cheer, were carried from the Iroquois Theater, dead.
1903. That was the year
that this pathetic but highly popular ballad was on every tongue.
And we're going to close up the thrift shop then for this week after visiting 1903. We must have a pretty good TARDIS here in the thrift shop somewhere. Well, hopefully I'll see you next week, or you'll hear me next week. By the way, if you'd like to communicate with me, my email address is fmoe@colby-sawyer.edu. That's as in Frederick Michael Oscar Echo at colby-sawyer.edu. Remember, wherever you are on the planet, take good care of yourself, take good care of your community, and take good care of those you love.